This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I haven't had a chance to talk with Scott Merkin so far in this baseball season. And that's a failure on my part. That's my bad that I haven't had a chance to talk with Merk. I figured it'd be a good time to talk with him, though, being that the White Sox haven't played since Thursday. That's bizarre. The Sox are getting ready to take on Oakland. It doesn't look like their game's going to get rained or snowed out there. But Merk was with the boys in Minnesota. Hey, Merk, how you doing?
Lawrence, how you doing? I thought you forgot about me, but I guess not, huh?
No, I never forget about you. You kidding me? No way am I forgetting about you. But
we were just talking on Twitter the other day. We got to get some like HF Mafia t-shirts, I think, for all the media members out here.
I actually think that's a great idea.
It was Amanda Kashub who, did I pronounce her last name right?
Kashubi.
I sure hope I did. Kashubi, I left the E out. But I think she was the one who brought it up first, and I think we need to get some shirts for all of us.
Well, that makes sense because she's the smartest of us, so it makes sense that she would come up with the idea.
And that's not a hard list to top either, though, is it?
So, no, it's not. It's really, really not. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing better. I'm doing well. Everything's good, and I got a look at my first April blizzard and I've lived in Chicago pretty much my entire life, barring spring training and Ann Arbor for 4 years, and I've never seen a snowstorm like that in April. I haven't seen many like that in January, for God's sake, let alone April.
So walk me through it. You get to Minneapolis, and they had said that there was the possibility of a foot of snow falling there.
Right.
When you got there, did you even go to the ballpark at all?
Yeah, Thursday was fine. Thursday was great. Actually, walked back to the hotel from the ballpark Thursday night after, you know, Berrios just pitched a tremendous game. And actually, Giolito was pretty decent in that game, too, for the White Sox. Walked back, and it was still, you know, not summery, but it was decently pleasant out. And then, you know, the next day we heard it was kind of be off and on. And again, I don't know the permutations of this stuff, but if they would have started that game Friday at like 11 or 11:30, they probably could have snuck that one in because it didn't really get bad until like, you know, Friday at like 5 or 5:30. And then once it hit like Friday night at like 9 p.m., that was it. It was an almost absolute blizzard whiteout until like Sunday morning at like, you know, 2 or 3 a.m. And we didn't go to the park Saturday or Sunday. Sunday, the Sox kind of used it as an off day and just got on their bus and got the heck out of Dodge and flew to Oakland. They did work at the ballpark on both Friday and Saturday. And, you know, I'm sure people who follow all these guys on Instagram and Twitter saw all the pictures of Moncada out on the field when they were trying to clear the 17 inches of snow off the field. But yeah, we talked to Ricky on the phone Saturday, but that was about it. There was no baseball. There really was, you know, nothing you could do about it. As Ricky said, they got that forecast right. They nailed that one. And, you know, so now they have three games. I think the hope was they'd be able to sneak Sunday in somehow. But Lawrence, it was, aside from the 70s of the snow, it was 16 wind chill. So there was just no chance after Thursday. No chance at all.
Yeah, I was happy that they didn't mess around and that the White Sox basically were just like, let's just leave. Let's just go to Oakland right now because it doesn't make sense for us to stick around here for this thing. That made a lot of sense to me, but the games probably won't matter for the White Sox, but if you're the Twins, they might matter. So how in the world do you make a whole series up?
Well, you know, they announced it today. I think they're playing one doubleheader in the next time they're in Minnesota, which is the draft time, the 4th through the 8th, I think it is, or something like that. So that's a four-game series. They're going to play one game on a mutual off day in August. And then here's the kicker. The Sox finished the season, and so does Minnesota, in Target Field. And now that has become a four-game series instead of a three-game series. So that could be, like you said, if things play out as, you know, it kind of looks like and people have projected, you know, Minnesota could need 2-3 wins in that. So who knows? You know, maybe it'll be locked down by then. Maybe they'll be out of it. Maybe both teams will be out of it. Who knows? But, I mean, if they're in it, that could be an interesting finish for both teams. And think about who could be on that Sox team at that point, too. So, you know, you're adding an extra game where you may have
Eloy
Kopech pitching. You might have Eloy Jimenez playing the outfield. Who knows what's going to be going on when it comes to the last series of the year.
talking with Scott Merkin, who writes for MLB.com. He covers the White Sox. He was there in Minnesota with the team. What were the players' reactions to the crazy weather? I saw some of it on Instagram and on Twitter, but what were those guys saying?
You know, I think Ricky made this kind of clear on Saturday when we talked to him. This didn't surprise anyone. You know, they knew coming in what was going on. So I think the players understood. You know, they made sure that they got the size done that had to be done. You know, I don't know where it was, in the batting cage or whatever. Guys did hitting they had to. They did the strength and conditioning. So everything was done. It wasn't like they got there and said, holy cow, they're getting a blizzard tomorrow. What are we going to do? They knew what was going on. So they had everything set up. Now, the only thing is, you know, you have guys who are not going to start a game for, like, you know, 9-10 days, or 8-9 days, whatever it is, because of the snowstorm. But they seem to get a kick out of it. You know, real cute Instagram of Tim Anderson with his wife walking with their little daughter and, you know, through the snow, and she seemed to be getting, you know, when you're not driving a car or trying to walk around, really, you enjoy the snow, right? I remember when I was young, I loved snowstorms too. But, you know, Moncada seemed, you know, impressed by the size of the snowstorm. But Jose, you know, as always, very honest when he said he didn't seem to have much use for it. He said he's not used to the cold and not used to the snow, even in his fifth year in the majors. And really no one is. I mean, again, it's I'm not like complaining. I'm more awestruck by that. I've just never seen anything like that. At one point on Saturday, I looked out my hotel room window and I couldn't see the street from my hotel. And that's how bad the snow was. And I'm used to that in January in Chicago, or maybe December in Chicago, but not April, not tax day in Minneapolis. That was just, it was just crazy.
What do you do with the rotation when you have 3 days where no one pitches?
Well, you know, I'm sure they did some work in there they had to do, and it just stays on, you know, it stays on track now. It's what, Lopez, Gonzalez, Fulmer, and then it'll be Shields and Giolito to start the series against the defending world champs this weekend, where hopefully they'll get a little weather with a team like, you know, a little nice weather with Houston coming to town. Also this weekend, Charlotte makes their closest trip to Chicago, where they have three in Indy and then three in Louisville. So that next week, starting Friday, they'll be about as close as they get to Chicago. So you just, you know, you keep them strong, you make them, you know, you have them do their work and just have them get ready. And it'll be interesting to see tonight in Oakland if there's a little rust when they first start, because not many teams in the middle of the year, except for the All-Star break, get 3 days off in season.
No doubt about it. I watched Michael Kopech pitch on Saturday. That game was televised on NBC Sports Chicago, which was pretty cool. Is he ready?
You know, I think we can say yes, but it's really for Rick and Kenny and Jeremy Haber and Chris Getz and everyone else to decide. And sometimes you think they might be ready, but they're, you know, they may want to see two or three more starts, who knows, with his changeup, and really, you know, hone in on that changeup and say, you know, is it where it needs to be? And that's one thing. Well, one of the number of things I think they've done well in this rebuild is, last year, you know, there were times where Lopez or Giolito could have come up for a spot start, or you could have brought him up out of the bullpen. And they, you know, the same with Moncada. Moncada was probably, you know, by our definition, ready to come up before they actually called him up. But, you know, I think they're going to make sure these guys kind of cross all the T's and dot all the I's before they get up here. And with that said, you know, I heard some people kind of in the know tell me that Kopech could follow a similar path as Lopez this year. But I really think that Kopech's going to be up before Lopez can up last year. I could see Kopech, just purely on my guess, I think, you know, end of May sometime, something like that. I would not be surprised if, when the Sox go to Boston, and this is not something they're planning, but when the Sox go to Boston the beginning of June, right after the draft, if Kopech is in the rotation at that point.
Do they have a doubleheader that he might start? Isn't there a possibility
again,
of that happening?
There's a doubleheader in Kansas City, not this weekend, but the weekend after. And I don't think they'll call him up for one game. It just doesn't. I don't think that, you know, they have Hector Santiago, they have Chris Volstead, they could turn to a Tyler Danish if they want to, but they have two guys. Remember, they have eight relievers, first of all, and they have two guys on that staff who are stretched out and can pitch long innings. So I would guess for just that one doubleheader, they're going to, you know, they may add another arm. Well, they're going to add another player. Obviously, you get the 26th guy, but I would guess it's Hector or Volstead getting that start in that doubleheader.
Okay, so as the season goes on, what are some of the things that are on your list of what you're paying attention to with this White Sox team?
Well, you obviously pay attention to all the young guys. You know, that's the most important thing, and that's not any slight to a guy like James Shields, who's done very well so far and has been a phenomenon. I know people don't like the mentor story and the guidance and the leadership, but he really has been, you know, just phenomenal for that clubhouse. And I think he has kind of an attitude towards life that I know I would like, and that everyone would probably like, just very laid back and just kind of goes with what's going on. And, you know, that's that. You know, not much more you can do than be prepared, work hard, and be ready to go. But, you know, you want to see how Moncada develops. I think there's too much with Moncada right now of taking the temperature every 2 days. You know, the guy has less than 400 plate appearances in the majors. Yeah, he's striking out too much. He's not hitting off-speed pitches. But he also leads the majors in, you know, hard hit percentage, which shows he is making some contact and good contact. You know, let him have a few months. Let him get to June. And, you know, if he's still hitting 170 or whatever in June, then you may have to think about a little break for him. But you watch that. You know, you watch when Jimenez comes up. You watch when he gets healthy and gets back, first of all. And you watch when Kopech comes up. You watch the guys in the minors, especially that Winston-Salem team, which is absolutely loaded. You watch when Robert comes back from his thumb injury. And then, you know, there's some interesting little sub-stories at the major level. I think Bruce Rondon is going to be a great story because there was never a question that that guy had ability with Detroit. Just for some reason, he didn't fit. There was some, I don't want to say behavior issues, but just some work issues there with him. And sometimes it takes that one change to make a difference. And, you know, he could end up being, you know, I think he's 27, so it could be a bullpen piece in the future or it could be a good flippable piece for Rick Hahn. So just, he's had two great outings. You know, let's see where he is at 8, 9, 10, 12 outings. But just stuff like that, a lot of things to pay attention to. And as is the case with the rebuild, it's, excuse me, not all at the major league level.
Is it worth it for you? I mean, you're with the major league team, but maybe to take 4 or 5 days here or there to go see what's going on in Charlotte or Kannapolis or wherever else?
Yeah, I don't want to slight anyone at Charlotte, but, you know, like, Charlotte last year was loaded with prospects. I don't think there's as many frontline prospects at Charlotte this year. There are good players. I mean, I think Charlie Tilson is an example. Ryan Cordell both have a chance to help this team in some way in the future. And then, of course, Michael Kopech's there. I think the team that's loaded this year.
Birmingham,
great, but Winston-Salem.
Okay.
Yeah, it just has a ton of prospects. Mike Rodolfo is killing the ball right now. A guy like Joe Booker has, you know, had an exciting run for the team. So I think there's a lot of, you know, good Dane Dunning, Dylan Cease as part of the rotation. So, yeah, I mean, at this level, I try and do, even if I'm not there, one minor league story a week that doesn't have to do with the major league team necessarily. And then our associate reporter for the summer, Max Gelman, does like a roundup 2 times a week. So, yeah, we're on it. You know, I mean, you have to pay attention to the whole picture. And, you know, I mean, the Sox haven't made this clear, but they've pretty much hinted that, you know, this is not a year where they, you know, not believe, but this is not a year designed to win. That's maybe more 19 for sure, 20. So you got to look at everything that's feeding into this picture, and a lot of that is the guys, even if they're 2 or 3 years away in the minor leagues.
Did you feel bad as a Michigan alum when they beat Loyola?
I did not. I enjoyed the Loyola story. I covered Loyola for... In another lifetime, I covered the Horizon League Championship when David Bailey played Martell Bailey, his brother, UIC Loyola, at the Cleveland Convocation Center in front of hundreds of people there. And it was one of the more memorable games I've covered. And I've covered a lot of games, but come on. Yeah, I went to Michigan. I also knew after that game and watching what Villanova did to Kansas that we were in a lot of trouble in that championship game. And Villanova legitimately might be one of the better college teams in the last, what, 5, 6, maybe 7, 8 years.
They actually have the most wins. If you look over the last 5 years, they've got more wins than anyone in college basketball over that stretch, except for the Derrick Rose era Memphis squad, whose wins don't exist anymore.
I think I don't know what Jalen Brunson's going to be in the pros. I haven't really followed him enough, but just watching him in that game, he already looks like he's got the pro mannerisms. You know, the way he's able to kind of create space with the off arm and not get called on that, which sometimes happens at the college level. So I think he already is kind of a pro player waiting to go. So it'll be interesting to see how he – but, I mean, congratulations to them. Jay Wright's a quality coach, good guy, good program overall there right now. So, hey, you know, sometimes you just get beaten. That's what happened to Michigan that night.
Merk, I appreciate you jumping on. Thank you for the great intel on what the White Sox are going through this past weekend.
All good. Go Vikings. We'll talk again soon, hopefully.
Indeed. Go Vikings.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.